worship you. We got to get God's attention. This morning there's some very special people here. We know we welcome the UTC this morning. You're going to see Brody in the house. Amen. But for the very first time, we have Irene, Anna, Tiffany, Nicole, Sissy's back, Joseph and Andrew here for the very first time. It's so good to have you with us. And I hope that if you can, right after service, me and my wife will get right to the foyer, and we'd love to shake your hand and just say hello, put a handshake to the name, and just get to know you and let you know that if you're looking for a church where it has a vision, a church that has a tremendous cause, and a church that can offer you some hope and offer you a word every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday night, and that you found the right place. This is a church that is on the move. Amen. And so we want to welcome you, and we hope you'll make this your church. If you're visiting from out of town, if you're in the 3-hour radius, you can still come to church every Sunday. People do it from all over this, all of our churches. A lot of people live 2-3 hours away, and they drive here because they want to be here. So don't let that be an excuse. But if you're from out of town, you live in a different city far off, know this. When you're in Albuquerque, you have family right here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, while you remain standing. I want to thank you guys, worship team. Amen. And I'm excited about tonight. We're going to rally here tonight. Let's call it Hour of Power Rally Night. And so I want to make sure you come out. You know, some of you don't understand what happens on Sundays and Wednesdays, Sunday nights. You like Sunday mornings are exhilarating. They're good, but, man, you're missing out on the best. I'm telling you right now, Sunday nights, man, Hour of Power is powerful. We're going to rally tonight, and then Wednesday night, the UTC is taking over. I can't say enough. You need to get here, amen. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be special, like Pastor Pat said, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, and we're going to read just a few verses. Just give me a loud amen when you're all there. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. If you're still looking for it, it's on page 1426. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you have the Bible, I have. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Everybody say something happened at Jericho. And Jericho's all over the Bible, man. There's always something going on in Jericho. Even right now, today, in the day and age, there's something happening in Jericho. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. We're going to call him Zach today. All right, just Zach, because Zacchaeus is too long. We're going to give him a nickname. We're going to shorten his name, since he was a shorty anyway. Amen. Or for those to be politically correct, he was height challenged. Now, behold, there was a man named Zach who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Everybody said he was rich. And verse 3 says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Father, we love you, God. I pray that the Spirit of God would move, that you'd move in me and through me, and that you would anoint me this morning, my God, to speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Open every ear, every heart. All those listening, my God, to this message would have a breakthrough and they would understand who they are in you. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, turn to somebody and say, well, something happened in Jericho. You can be seated. So the Bible says in verse 3 that he sought to see who Jesus was. Apparently, he had heard through the grapevine, they must have maybe had posters out, I don't know, that there was something happening on Saturday night on Sycamore Street. Come on, somebody. Or on Jefferson. Hello. The Bible says so because he couldn't see him coming. The crowd was so big and he was so short that he says, I got to find a way. And the very next verse tells you what he did. See, his first The first part of his whole story starts off with he heard something was going on, that Jesus was coming. So he wanted to see who he was, but he couldn't do it. So he had to make a plan B. And that plan B was, I got to figure out a way to get ahead of this game. The Bible says, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zach, get down here, dude. Make haste, he says in the New King James Version. Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, everybody say they. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zach stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has not come to seek and save that. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture this is. To think about what's happening here, I want you to picture, I want you to visualize what's going on. This is a story about a man who is a senior agent at a local tax shop. This is the guy they send out to collect taxes. Now, you just get a letter in the mail, right? You owe this much, or you get it in your portfolio at the end of the year. You get it in your, you know, tax information. This is how much you owe. This is how much you're getting back. And you don't have to deal with anybody like that unless you owe. Hello, somebody. And then guess what they do? They send you a letter. If you don't answer it, they come. Hello, are you Mr. and Mrs. Well, we got to talk to you. That was this guy. This guy was a tax collector. He was the chief. The Bible says he was the senior agent at this company. Come on, somebody. And so he immediately, if you look at him, he comes into the crowd. He's immediately labeled, you know, they look at him like a crook. They look at him like he just takes our money all the time. He's always taking our taxes from us. He's one of the wealthiest people in this whole area. Everybody knows who he is. He's, the Bible says he was very rich, but if you look in the commentaries, he was one of the richest people around. Always was dressed, man. He always had that nice, everything, the best. This guy dressed nice. But even though he dressed nice, he looked good, he had this position, it didn't help him with his condition, man. The guy still had a complex. People looked at him and looked down on him the way he was because he was a crook, number one. Number two, secondly, because of his height, man, they made fun of him and stuff like that. And he was, I mean, this guy had a huge house, but nobody ever came to his house. Imagine that. The guy worked hard so he could have everything. Had the biggest house, the nicest of everything, but nobody would visit him. He heard about this famous evangelist, this guy that was healing people. They were calling him the Son of God. And he says, man, I want to go talk to this guy. I want to hear what he has to say. And this guy would do it. According to the scriptures, he was willing to do anything to get to hear him. In fact, he was, according to what the scriptures there in verse 8, he was willing to give anything, to lose everything he had won. Everything, his whole life was seeking to get and seeking to win and seeking to get this and to get that. And he acquired everything and he had all this money. But he was willing to give it up if he could get the kind of peace that money couldn't give him. Come on, somebody. So what does he do? He has a little plan. He's a smart guy. He anticipates where the parade's going to be. He begins to anticipate where they're going to end up at. So he can't see him. He's trying to get through. And you know those people are going to look at him and say, you ain't getting by. Everybody would just block him because they didn't like him. This guy was despised. He was that guy you love to hate. And he was just, every time he tried to get there, go look like that, they would just kind of close up the ranks. So what does he do? He runs way up ahead. He goes, I don't know. He goes down the next block, comes around, and he climbs up the tree. of the tree. Now, if you know what sycamore, if you know the way a sycamore tree is, a sycamore tree, they grow real thick, and they got these big, giant branches, and they kind of go lower to the ground, and they kind of go long out. So this tree would have been a tree that would have kind of hung over the road. So I picture this little guy in his nice suit, all suited and booted, dressed nice. He walks up to the tree. He looks at he assesses the situation. He sees the crowd coming. He gets up on top of the tree, he finds himself and he perches himself right there on the tree, right above the road where Jesus is walking. And all of a sudden, the crowd is coming and the crowd is making their way and everybody's chanting and they're, you know, calling out for Jesus. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there he walks up to him. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks up and he's like, "What in the world?" The Bible says he noticed him. In his mind, you know, imagine what he was thinking. He was thinking, "Man, if I could just meet him, he would know I have the biggest house, the best chef, the best food. If I could just invite him to go eat at my house, oh man, maybe I could talk to him. Maybe I could share my heart with him. Maybe he could feel what's empty in my heart. I have everything on the outside, but I have nothing in here. Maybe if I could talk to him, maybe just sit across the table with him." But then in his mind, he says, "But he'll probably never come to my house. Nobody likes to go to my house. I may be a somebody, but I'm really a nobody." But Jesus looks up and he says, "Hey, come down. What are you doing up there?" And he probably told him, I said, "Well, you know, you notice I'm a little bit, you know, short. And these guys wouldn't let me see, so I had to make a way." And Jesus notices. This guy's hungry for me. This guy's hungrier than just walking with the crowd. See, we're a crowd here this morning, but are you hungry like this tomorrow morning when you're by yourself? Will you be hungry like your UTC homes, men's and women's homes? You're hungry while you're with a group. But when you graduate, when you get out and you're all by yourself and not everybody's dancing in front, are you still hungry like that? See. And so this guy's hungry. Huh? I mean, Zach is shocked when he says, "Come on down. We're going to your pad. Come on. Let's go do it. Fire up the grill. Text your chef. Tell him to fire up them lamb fajitas. I'm staying at your pad tonight, man. I heard you got a big old house." He goes, "Do I have my run of the mill? Yeah, you can have whatever room you want." So he's shocked, man. He jumps out of that tree, excited. Imagine. The crowd must have been amazed on one hand and confused on the other hand, because if you know anything about that culture and a religious spirit, you know that the first thing out of their mouth was, "He's going to stay at his house." At his house? How can somebody so holy, so righteous, why would anybody that is so holy want to stay at that stinking sinner's house? That was their thoughts, and then the Bible says that they said it. So a lot of times people just think it. "Oh, I can't touch that. Come out from among them." Don't twist that scripture. It's talking about up in the bar. He ain't talking about amongst sinners. He's talking about don't go hang out. See, their religious spirit was exposed that very moment. Look at how Jesus did it. He didn't have to rebuke them. He didn't tell them, "You guys, man, what's wrong with you guys?" He didn't do anything. He said, "I'm just going to stay at your house." He could have told any of those other ones, "Hey, do you have a place where I can pray and just set my head down and relax? And I got to study for tomorrow. And can I just be alone in the presence of God? Do you have music at your house? Do you have a nice little iPod? Maybe I could just chill." He didn't do that. He said, "I'm going to stay at your house." Knowing what they would say, knowing that they would judge it, knowing that what they would think of this man. You know why? Because long before this Zach got up in that tree and was running after to find him long before them. There was midnight hour times where he cried out, because he also grew up a Jew. He also knew about the things of God, but he had gotten away from that, and he was just hurting his people by being that tax collector. And yeah, he was a crook and all that stuff, but God had heard from heaven way before that. There was a guy, a short little guy by the name of Zach, crying out and just saying, man, you know what? I don't know what I need, but I need a change. I need some kind of transformation, but I don't know how to get it, because I can't go to the local church because they judge me, because I take their money. I can't go to these guys because those guys, we don't get along with those guys, and I don't have nobody. Is there any way, God? See, God had heard from heaven. So Jesus, we think Jesus just noticed him when he was in the tree. But oh, sometimes we got to get things straight here. He had noticed him way before that, because God notices you when you're alone. And he just confirms it when we're together. Oh, you got it. You ain't hearing me this morning. I need some help in this place. Huh? I love the way Zach responds. When they all saw it, they complained, saying he's got to be a guest with this man who's a sinner. But then look at what Zach does. Then Zach stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and I've taken anything by anybody, false accusation. Like, no, you owe more. You got interest on that, buddy. Give me that, you know. I restore it fourfold." In other words, if I took $1,000 for you, you're getting four G's. Five. Let's make it five. What happened to him? What, just because he's going to have dinner with the master? See, something happened in Jericho. Let me tell you what happened. Is that Zach became a God chaser. Zach was in relentless pursuit of his future. Zach was in relentless pursuit of something different than the norm. He was tired of living the way he was living. And some of you better understand this morning, unless you relentlessly pursue God, you will not see change. You won't see it. I love what he says. He goes, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Today. Look at the declaration that Jesus makes. I kind of like all the other religious folks were there. But he says, "Today salvation has come to this house." He's making a statement. Look at the revelation there. He said, "All of you think you're close to God. You're close here, but you're not close here. Otherwise, many of you would have said, 'Hey, can I come? Hey, I got a grill. I got some fresh lamb in the freezer. Let me go get that. Yeah, you need drinks? You need some pita bread? Some hummus? Need some olives? What do you need? I'll go get them. I'll go pick them up at Whole Foods. I'll go get them. You need organic? What do you need? I'll go get it." But they didn't do that. They were like, "Ooh." Everyone else saw a crook, someone who was dying for recognition. They probably thought, "Oh, he's got all the money, so he wants to say, 'Hey, you know, I'm the richest guy in town.'" But he doesn't do that. He does the opposite. Huh? Because something was happening that day in Jericho. Jesus was moved with compassion for Zach. And he was touched by the power of God. But there was evidence of it. See, a lot of people think that God hates sinners and loves the righteous. No, God hates sin. He loves the sinner. See, he loves a sinner and despises the self-righteous. When you have a self-righteous spirit, like you're better than anyone, that word "better," I don't even want to get into what it means. But you can never think you're better than anybody. Because the day you do that, you might just smell something on yourself. Does anybody like to bake? I know Jolene's in here, but I know Jolene's just a fantastic baker. She bakes the most amazing cakes. My daughter Felicia, she makes cakes that are like, wow. See, the brother putting his hand up, I bake. And my wife, man, my wife, my mom, there's just a bunch of bakers. You know, my wife has these recipes where she doesn't have to really look at them, but sometimes she'll take a look at them to make sure. Because one thing about Barb and one thing about my mom that I've noticed is that when they make something, they like to make it exactly the way it's supposed to taste, the way we remember it, the way it's going to be. I mean, a chocolate cake has to be right. Biscochitos have to be right. When they're not right, you know they're not right. When they're missing something, it's like, oh, how are they? Pretty good. Recipes are like that. See, there's always this one catalyst ingredient that's in the whatever you make, whether it be a cake or bizcochitos or sopapillas or whatever, bread. There's always something. There's that one thing, that ingredient that when it touches the other stuff, it activates that catalyst and it rises. It does whatever it's supposed to do. Huh? And even though if you miss one ingredient, you can still look good. Even when you're cooking it, smells good in here. I'm messing you up right now, all right? Well, we're almost done for church, so we'll be fine. Just hang with me for a few minutes. That's one of the things they teach at seminaries. Don't talk about food while you're preaching. You get people's mind, well, I have tried for 30 years not to do that. I'm never not going to do that. So just, neither is Danny Lara, so don't expect it from me or him. It'll look good. It might even kind of, you know, resemble good, but it won't be right. We have some, I mean, like 5-6 generation recipes in our family that if you don't make them right, they're just not right. And they have to be made right, the right amount. And my wife is a master at doing that because she ain't putting it out unless it tastes right. And you know who the tester is? Me. She goes, taste it, babe. I go, hold on a second. Anybody see the fight last night? Yeah, I didn't. But I saw ESPN afterwards, and I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't watch the fight then. But unless you're into that thing, people jumping over the cage and fighting another fight on the outside. But it's like I get there, and I get that. We make these things called chile renos, but they're not the long chile renos. Not the ones from Mexico. Not the ones here in New Mexico with the long chili with cheese. Not the poblanos with the stuffed with all kinds of good stuff. But they're a different kind. They're a little ball like that with a hamburger meat and green chili and all these different spices and coated in egg and deep fried and put it into a piece of bread, and then they're just like amazing. But if there's one ingredient, the catalyst ingredient is missing from that chile reno, it's like, go back to the drawing board. She won't let that happen. Just one ingredient missing makes the difference. Just one ingredient makes the difference for it to be success or failure, victory or defeat. See, this is what Jesus was doing. He was trying to tell all these people, you're missing one ingredient. And this sinner's got it. He's hungry for me, for my presence. He's willing to do and willing to give anything to get it. See, by listening, by Jesus listening with his eyes and seeing with his ears, Jesus looked beyond the obvious and to accurately perceive the longing in Zach's heart. He goes, I've heard that voice before last year in heaven. I heard it ringing. He got the attention. He got our attention in heaven. God wants to save that man. Just like many of you, you were crying out to God 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. You were crying out to God. There's nobody will stay at my house. Nobody will love me. Nobody. I can't find a person to love me. I can't stay in a marriage. I'm alone. I'm broken. And then all of a sudden, God heard your cry. He heard it with his, listen, he heard it. And he listened to it with his eyes of compassion. And he saw what you were going through with his ears. You can't. So what does he do? He invites himself to stay and eat with him. And it was then that he released hope. He released faith into that house and salvation. Imagine what happened. A revival broke out in the house of a sinner. Victory Outreach. We have been raised up to go into the streets to listen, to listen, to listen with our ears and our eyes, to see with our ears and to look and say, this is who God has called us to. Listen, when he invited him, when he invited himself, he was saying, I don't just want to come and eat your house. I don't want to just release hope in your life. I want to release an anointing upon your life. Listen, each one of you, each one of us have the same anointing that Jesus gave to Zachariah. I want you to know something here this morning. That we have a responsibility to the lost. We have a responsibility. That's why we don't have the UTC here just to fire us up in the service. They know that. We're here to win souls. We're here to see the lost saved. We're here to see the hand of God move. Drug addicts transformed by the power of God. Delivered on the street. Zach was delivered in an instant of an eye. The apostle Paul had a Damascus Road conversion, a transformation. Well, Zach had a Sycamore Street transformation. Zach had a Sycamore Street deliverance instantaneously. He got shondoed in a second. See, we're called to the inner cities of the world to listen and to see the outcasts of society. This man was a known outcast from his community. He lived up on the hill all by himself. The people in his house were hired. They weren't there of their own volition. They were there because they had to be. But nobody else would go there. Now the master of the wind, the king of all kings ever to live before or after, would now be living, staying at his house. Watching ESPN on his TV. Hooking up to his Wi-Fi. The whole wall. See, you'll know an outcast when you see him. Because most of you in this room are one. Don't be like that crowd now that you smell good. That you look good. I was telling the UTC the other day when we were sitting around huddling and they're damning. I said, don't forget, some of you are going to be regionals. Who knows? Some of you could be multi-regionals, elders. We don't know. And 30 years from now, we're all, you know, finished what we're supposed to be doing. They're going to get raised up. All these leaders, they're raising leaders at UTC. They ain't just raising, you know, worship dancers. That's part of it. They're raising leaders for the future to take cities. So when you get to that position, don't you dare get like this crowd. I didn't get this message ready yet. I was still working on it. But I was telling, don't you dare get so dignified that you can't dance, that you can't no more. That you can't no more. I told him, I've been 30 years saved. And I'm just barely starting to fire up. You better keep that fire. You can't lose that fire. Don't get so dignified and sissified that you can't praise God a little bit. God wants to raise you up. But if he raises you up, you can't be raised up to be like this crowd. Religious folks in the future with so many religious rules that you're of no earthly good. You're no good. You feel good. But they ain't doing no good. These people weren't doing no good. This guy says, I need something. But once he got what he needed, he immediately started looking around at how he could give. He started looking around, what can I do to help people now? I got what I got. Now I'm going to give. Some of you were tripping a while ago when we picked up a second offering. He said, what? You see, Jesus listened with his eyes and saw with his ears. Zach was a social outcast who got rich by taking taxes from everybody. He had no friends. He was lonely. Jesus saw this outcast who was desperately wanting something to change. And even if it meant losing everything he owned, he would be willing to give whatever he had to Jesus, because Jack was a God chaser. God wants you to be a God chaser. And when you chase God, when you relentlessly pursue God, three things happen. If you're taking notes, number one, real quickly, notice what happens in verse 3. The Bible says he sought to see him. That means he pursued him. That means he was relentless. That means that he was going to find him, and he had to get a second plan. He had to go down a different street. He had to come through the alley. He had to jump a fence. He had to get up in the tree and be ready, waiting for him. Why? Because he was relentless. He wanted to change. He wasn't satisfied what everybody else was saying about Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus for himself. Some of you here this morning, you might be satisfied with what the rest of us are saying about Jesus. And God is saying, no, you relentlessly pursue him for yourself. Jesus ministered to him. See, what happens when you, number one, when you relentlessly pursue God, when you chase God, he'll give you vision. He'll envision you. He'll give you vision for your future. Imagine what they must have talked about. It ends at verse 10. But he went to the house. I mean, Jesus ain't dumb. He's God. He created dirt, and the dirt created the guys. And then the bone inside, the women were created. This is God. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. She goes, I'm sitting at his house, man. I'm tired of sleeping in rocks. I'll sleep in rocks tomorrow night, but tonight I'm sleeping in his house. I heard this guy got this house is amazing. Big picture window, and you know, got fresh hummus, not from the store. They crushed it. Fresh virgin olive oil from Israel, not from Whole Foods or from Smith's. Imagine what they must have talked about after he told him, so you put your foot in your mouth. You know that, right? You said it before everybody. You're giving money back. You got a plan? Oh, you got it. You got it. I already have my accountants already. I text them ahead of time. Say, get over here. Get over here. Let's pay everybody back their money. Some of them got to be fourfold. I know what I'm doing. He said, I got it. I got what you're saying, Jesus. Imagine what they must have talked about. Tell them, what happened to you, son? What made you so hard? What made you so like lifeless? What made you so rigid that you could just take from people and just not even care? What made you like that? Imagine what Zach must have, at that moment, taken off his mask and said, you know, well, let me just tell you, when I was a little boy, we don't know what they talked about, but he ministered to them. What I love is that he didn't just get a lot of people just get ministered to. They hold on to the ministry. They hold on to it. God has not called us to do it. Initially, that's what we do. And through our years, there's seasons where God has to minister to you. You could be a pastor and need to be ministered to. But then when you get it, it's not just for you. It's to flow through you to somebody else. I was with the UTC, the Lydia and Demi, after we finished eating, we're getting ready to leave. We're sitting around there, and they're all around there. And I saw that look of hunger in their eyes. Most of them had little pads out, and they were writing notes, everything I was saying. I was like, man, I better be right saying the right things. They're writing everything down. And then there was some of them, and then all of a sudden, the girls came too, and everybody just crowded around. And I thought, these guys are hungry. They're hungry to learn. They heard we've been serving the Lord for a long time. Said, I want to learn. Wherever they go to Philly, man. He's Pastor Titus, prayer warrior, amazing. He's been in the trenches in one of the most dirty cities, most sinful cities in our nation. But there he is, faithful. His church has a beautiful building. There they are around him because they're hungry. When was the last time you were hungry for God like that? I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying, when was the last time you had that deep hunger? That one would cause you to get up in the sycamore tree. The one to empty your pocket and say, man, what do I got? What do you need for the... Pastor, I could underwrite the rest of this crusade. What do you need? Huh? We got to be hungry for God. Secondly, and that's prayer. That's seeking. Just seeking. The Bible says he sought to see him. You got to seek to see God in the mornings and the afternoons. And join us all week. Join us tonight. Join us tonight for prayer. We're going to Chandra. We're going to rally here tonight. Join us. Join us every morning at 9:45 for chapel. If you can, join us. Pastor Pat's going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking. Some of the other people are going to be. Listen, let's rally with prayer. Let's seek God this week. Amen. For our city. Second thing, real quick, and I'm almost wrapped. I'm ready to land this thing. Is relentlessly pursuing God or chasing God will cause us to give. And I said a lot about that, so I'm not gonna do that. But giving is an evidence or a proof of a changed heart. This man's heart changed, and immediately he was ready to go to his pocket. And what can I give? Not just money, time, talents. You know what would have sounded good a while ago? We're singing, I sing praises to your name. To have a saxophone right away in this section right here. Just playing like that. Some of you probably played saxophone, but you don't have enough time to pull one out and buy one and get back in it. I have to hit you hard because I've been praying for a saxophone player for like 25 years. We still don't got one. We had one once, but he moved. Give your time. Give your talent to God. This guy was willing to give whatever. First, he came out with money. This is a guy. This is a money guy. I got to understand what God's saying here to the church. Who's saying, this guy had the money. He could have said, see, there's another story just a few chapters ahead of this. Where there was a young rich ruler who came to Jesus too. He was seeking to find Jesus. The Bible calls him the young rich ruler. And he says this to him. He says, Jesus, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. I do all that I got to do. What must I do to enter into the heaven? And Jesus knew what he was in his heart. He says, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Come follow me. The Bible says he just turned and walked away sad. Jesus didn't need his money. Jesus don't need your money. He didn't need it. He just wanted to see what was in his heart. Zach, on the other hand, now this boy was wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. This guy was wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. Look at the difference when you get shandled by God, when you're hungry for God, when you all you want is God. Look at the difference in the heart. Now, did Jesus say, Jesus didn't tell him, okay, now what you need to do is you need to give all your money and be poor. He didn't say that. You know what he probably told him? I don't know what he told him because we don't know what was going on in his house. But he told him, listen, you're an entrepreneur. Instead of doing things crooked, why don't you start some businesses that are legal, some businesses that are that have a good for everybody, give jobs to people, pay your employees good, give them a 401k, make sure that they're taking care of their family, and you can bless the whole community. And knowing that guy, he was such a mover, he probably did that. We don't know. But I know this right now, but he didn't call him to be poor. He knew he had an attraction to finances. He just wanted to make sure that the attraction to finances were through the heart of God and not through his own stinky heart like the young rich ruler. Come on, somebody. If you're not giving abundantly, it's not because you don't have. It's because you haven't been changed yet. A transformed person changes the way they see things. They don't look at money the same way anymore. They no longer look through the eyes of lack or poverty. Well, I don't have nothing. I have an EBT card. You guys, can I swipe that? Yeah. Can we do that? I don't think we can do that. But I'm just saying, when you want to give, if you say, I want to buy... I heard that we're giving hot dogs away Saturday at the rally. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm between jobs right now. So I got this little, can I buy hot dogs? Sure you can. Make sure they're all beef. Make sure they're Nathan's. We don't want Peyton's. You know I'm a hot dog guy when I find old Peyton's and Nathan's. My last point. You can start. Relentlessly pursuing the presence of God and chasing God will cause transformation. See, not just about giving, but transforming the way you are, just the way you carry yourself. You know, yesterday I saw, I don't know how God just does these things to me. He checks me and he blesses me in ways I can't even imagine. I was at my daughter, it was Ava's birthday. So when you see Ava, please tell her happy birthday. I know a lot of you on Instagram follow me, she already said it, but it was Ava's birthday. There's Ava, and she's having a good time with her little friends and all that stuff like that. We're eating, stuff like that. And it's coming to an end. We're getting ready to leave. And there's one of the little girls in there. Her grandpa came to pick her up. And I guess her mom was supposed to pick her up, but they sent the grandpa. He pulls around the corner, and And he goes, okay, I'm here. I said, hello. I go, how you doing? I looked at him and I took a double look. He looked at me. And it was one of my best friends and comrades. We went to the fire academy together. We hung out together. We hunted together. We fished together. We traded shifts. He got traded to another platoon to see, and I was ace. So we traded shifts together all the time. And we just, I love this dude. I would have given my life for him in a fire. He would have given his life for me. We went through the academy together. He has such an amazing spirit. And a lot of times when I was ripping and running out there, he goes, man, you have a good family. He didn't have, he had got divorced. He goes, you have a good family. I said, brother, you know, what are you doing out here? And he kind of, yesterday I saw him and we were like, what? So we went outside and started talking and said, what's going on with you? I asked him and he told me what's going on with you. And we just rekindled that friendship. It's been years. And we began to talk about, I've been telling him how bad it was. He goes, I know. I go, no, I don't know if you know how bad it was. He said, I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful that God spared me. And then he started beginning to reminisce, say, yeah, I know. And now I'm starting to realize. And God brought him into my life yesterday, just before this message, to remind me of my Zach time, my Zacharias, my Zacchaeus moments, where I was hungry for God that day, 30 years ago. Zach was a changed man. Now there was evidence to prove it. You see, Jesus was always in the road, man. He was on the Damascus Road, Sycamore Road. Always in the road. And you know what? When he went to the cross, he was on the road. Up on the road to Golgotha, the skull, the place they call Calvary. Still in the road. Lived his life on the road in the streets. That's a good place to be. And that's where we'll be all this week, the rest of this year, and until we go home to be with the Lord. They're important. When you give your whole heart to God, there should be change. Not just an outward change, but an inward change. You shouldn't battle with the same things you controlled you before, but sometimes people struggle. And if you're struggling, if you call out for help and you'll get some, or you get to one of our life groups, if you get some of the pastors, we have an amazing staff of ministers, leaders in our church, and you'll get up underneath them and say, listen, I struggle in this area. Just help me through it. Can I call you if I need to? Can you pray with me? And they will. I'm not really a counselor. I'm just going to be honest. I'm like, if you start counseling with me, I'm going to tell you, why don't you need to do, brother? You need to take a city. They're like, I'm more like a vision guy. But some of these guys, Charles, all these guys, they're like amazing counselors, man. Joanne, she just, how do you feel? Me, I'm going to tell you, brother, you need to start feeling right. That's the opposite of counseling books that we read. I'm just saying, I'm a visionary. I'm a preacher. I'm like, get right or get left. You know, come on, he's coming back. And I try, you know, I'm loving, but I'm not really the counselor guy. I'm a vision guy. And these guys, like, we got people that can do it, though. Now, all you need to do is just, you need to just tap in. See? If there's a hunger for God, then there's going to be purpose. If you're only interested in your own purpose, then you'll miss out on seeing other people's purpose fulfilled also, other than just you. You know what it takes, and I'll close with this, it takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why you're still struggling. That's why you're still fighting with things. That's why you can't get it, because you need the Holy Ghost. There's a song we sing, How Can I Forget? I'm like, how can you forget what God did for you? Well, you know what? When you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you forget quick. It's the Holy Ghost that gives you power over sin, the strength to overcome. It's the Holy Ghost that gives deliverance and sets free the captives, that changes a man or a woman. See, Zach, he pursued God passionately. When we pursue God passionately, he notices in heaven. And when we get to our sycamore tree, when we get down on that block where we need to be at, he finds us right there and he notices us. I don't know about you this morning, but if you need to get noticed by God this morning, then today is your day. I don't even want to labor this altar call this morning. If you are hungry for God, if you need a breakthrough, if you need need some transformation in your life, if you need to be refired, man, if you need to get resaved, whatever it is, you get yourself to the altar this morning and watch God get a hold of your heart. Come on, I'm going to invite you to come and get a hold of God. Come on, be hungry for Him once again. For those of you that lost your hunger, get that hunger back. For those of you that say, oh, I've never even been hungry like your disciples, how do I do it? You start here today. There's an old song they're going to sing. Listen to it. It's old, but I asked them to sing it because I remember these songs. As a young pastor, I'd sing this song and I'd say, oh God, I just want your presence. Like a deer pants for the water.
So my soul longeth after thee.
Come on, from all over this place, fill this altar with hunger.
Desire and I long to worship thee.
Come on, one more time, everybody together, sing it. I'm hungry for you, God. I hunger for you this morning, God. You alone. Come on, lift your voice and say,
oh. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield.
You the music plays softly right there where you're at. I sense this morning there are many people in this room that have lost your hunger, and you've been going through trials and going through things and you can't seem to get a breakthrough. It is hunger for God that'll give you the breakthrough you need. Others of you, you're on fire for God, you're hungry for God, but you're still experiencing the enemy's attack. You're saying, I don't know how to overcome. I'm still pressing in, still worshiping God. Don't stop. Be like a deer that pants for the water. Let Him be your only desire. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. There are some of you in this room who have never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never given Him in your heart. You've never been saved. You've never said a salvation prayer that says, I want to give my life to Jesus and serve Him the rest of my life. For those of you that fit that description, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. Secondly, there are some of you that used to walk with God and you fell away. You're just going to be honest, brutally honest. I fell away. I tripped and I've been out of it since. But I'm ready. I'm up in the sycamore tree right now, Pastor. And I'm ready to get a hold of Jesus. I'm hungry for Him. Then right there where you're at, if you fit that description, I want you to pray with me. And then we're going to come back and pray for hunger. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today. A sinner, lost and broken, with no hope. Today, I acknowledge and I declare that You are Lord. That You died on the cross for my sins. and for the sins of mankind. I give you my heart, and I confess all my sins to you. I pray that you save me, that you forgive me, and that one day I will rest in heaven. I will rise with you in the name of Jesus. I believe you didn't just die, but you rose from the dead, and you are coming back again. And I will be ready. I want to keep a hunger for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everybody at this altar that just gave their hearts to you. I pray that starting today would be the beginning and there'd be evidence, my God, of returning to Christ. Evidence of for the very first time starting a walk with God. I pray for those, God, that have been, Father God, that have been lost on the road. My God, that have they come back to the road, my God, to the right road. And that today would be the day, my God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for all those that want to be hungry for you. Those that have a deep hunger, my God, the burning in their heart, they're void of something. I pray, God, for a brand new hunger to begin to be poured out upon their lives, oh God. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would begin to baptize your people with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray for those, God, that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, would today be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, with the anointing that brings change in the name of Jesus. We pray the power of God come right now and fill every person in this church in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we are challenged to change, we pray you fill us, God. Come on, church. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Those of you that pray in tongues, begin to pray. Come on, God is filling you with the Holy Ghost right now. There's many of you being filled with the power of God right now. Come on, from all over this place. Come on, be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Kremororobo Shatarayasa. Oh, Rabbi Yashitia, come on, the Holy Ghost.